Yesterday we began to talk about the Torah's perspective on collective punishment, and we started off with the premise that the Torah says very clearly in Parshas Kisetze, Lo yumsu avos al banim, ubanim lo yumsu al avos. A father cannot be responsible for his child's actions, a child cannot be responsible for the father's actions. Ish b'chetu yimas. Each person is held accountable for all of their own actions, for all their own choices. And this is what Avraham Avinu already says in Parshas Vayera by the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. So Avraham Avinu says, Chalila lecha, hashofet kol ha'aretz lo yasa mishpat. You're going to go and destroy the whole city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and you're not going to take into account, into consideration, that maybe there are some people there who don't deserve to be destroyed. And this is what in Parshas Korach, Moshe and Aaron petition against the Ribbono Shel Olam as well, that Hashem says, Hibadu mitocha eda ha'ra azos va'achalo sam karega. I'm going to destroy everybody. I'm angry at what happened with Korach. And Moshe Rabbeinu responds and he says, Ha'ish echad yechata. One person is going to make a mistake. One person, like Korach, does what he does. Va'akala eda tiktof. Now you're going to get angry. You're going to hold out your wrath against the whole Jewish people. You're going to destroy them as a result. This sounds like it's very unfair, and it sounds like it's against the principle that the Torah itself outlines for us, that Ish b'cheto yumas, each person is only responsible and held accountable for themselves. So it seems that that would be the Torah's outlook. However, we find in various different places that we have some troubling stories that we'll have to explain. So let's just go through some of the stories. We have in Parshas Bo. So the Mitzrayim are going through all the punishments, all the makos, and finally we come to the ultimate, which is Makas Bechoros. So Makas Bechoros, Moshe Rabbeinu comes along and he warns Paro. What does he say? Umeis kol bechor be'eretz Mitzrayim. Every firstborn in Mitzrayim is going to lose their life. Mi bechor paro ha-yoshev al-kiso. And it begins with the bechor of paro that's sitting on the throne. Ad bechor ha-shivcha, asher achar ha-rechaim. It's going to carry over even to the bechor ha-shivcha, to the maidservant, to the child of the maidservant who is sitting and doing work on the mill. Bechor bechor behema, every firstborn animal is also going to die. It's going to be a plague. You've never seen such a thing. And actually, when the Maka plays out, when everything actually happens, the Torah says that that's in fact the case. It was exactly at Chatzos HaLaila when the Makas Bechoros was supposed to happen. God in fact came along and took away the life of every Bechor Mitzrayim, starting from the upper echelons of society, starting from the people who were hanging around in the palace of Paro. Everybody, even those who were incarcerated in jail, even those who were sitting in the pits, even those who were working on the Rechaim, every Bechor died all across the land of Mitzrayim. And this is a very troubling story. How is every Bechor held accountable for what happened in Mitzrayim? How could it be that every single Bechor in Mitzrayim was really involved in the Shibud Mitzrayim? How is it possible? So you could argue, perhaps one could say that, well, everybody was aware of what was happening. You know, we hold, you know, the Germans accountable. Not every German was involved, but you knew what was happening. You saw the gas chambers in your backyard, and nobody did anything about it. So you are in some way held responsible. And that's not something that we only point fingers at others. This is something the Chafetz Chaim says we have to point a finger at ourselves as well. This is a recurrent theme that the Chafetz Chaim has in many different places, in many different of his Svarim. But let's say, for example, the Chafetz Chaim writes in his Sefer Shem Olam, very frightening words, he says, he has tremendous respect and esteem for Osam Anashim Hayikarim. He calls them the wonderful people, Hama'orim Umazhirim Es Ha'am Ashmiros Shabbos Kodesh, of those people who go around and make it their business to teach and educate others about what it means to keep Shabbos. Nachon, he says, the Chol Yari V'char L'Dvar Hashem. It would make sense for anybody who's a God-fearing Jew, L'fakeach Tamid Al Godol Ha'inyan Hazeh, to go around and remind and educate people about how important it is to keep Shabbos. If people are not educated, you can't blame them for not keeping Shabbos properly. So it's our job, says the Chafetz Chaim, to go and educate others. And he goes on, but then in the end of the paragraph, he says, based on a Gemara Masechah Shabbos, Daf Nun Hei, Va'afilum hu ba'atzmo zahir ma'od b'kedushas ha-Shabbos, says the Chafetz Chaim. Even if you have learned through all of Chelek Gimel and Mishneh Berurah, and you know it inside out, which I'm sure most of us don't, but let's say you're that kind of person who really knows everything inside out, and you really understand Hilchos Shabbos as well, and you're not going to make a mistake. Mikol makom, he says, Em yesh biyado limchos ve'eino moche, nitfas ba'avonam. If you had the ability to stop somebody else, now we're not talking about somebody you're not affiliated with, somebody you have no connection to at all, but if you're in a position to have some sort of influence on someone else, that they should have an appreciation for what Shabbos is, that they should understand a little bit what it means to be Mechal Shabbos, what it means to keep Shabbos, and you choose not to. Now again, we're not talking about going to speak to people who have no connection with. We're talking about people who are within your reach, people who are within your influence. Says the Chafetz Chaim, if you choose to be quiet in a place where you had the opportunity to engage others and to show them and to educate them to the right way of life, nitfaz ba'avonam, says the Chafetz Chaim, based on a Gemara, you will be held accountable, you will in some way be held responsible for the avera that they commit because you had the opportunity to educate them and you chose not to. Chafetz Chaim writes in another place, unbelievable, he says, there was a... So obviously you have to know the limits. It has to be someone who you really have an influence on. We're not talking about you wake up one day, you decide you're going to start being mekarev of someone. Again, even when you're trying to be mekarev of somebody, you don't start with all the serious laws of Hilchos Shabbos and tell them about borer on the silverware and borer on the sperm. You tell them about some me'akala lakavid. You have to educate people slowly and in a manner in which they can handle it. We're not talking about somebody who doesn't know how to do this. We're talking about somebody who is in a position to do so. And the Chafetz Chaim writes, very scary mashal that he gives. He says he was reminded of the person who goes up to Beis Din Shamala la'achar me'eva esrim. He comes up, and this was such a God-fearing Jew, a wonderful person. He comes up, and the malachim start all running out to have the discussion about which place they're going to send him to. And the Chafetz Chaim writes how this Jew was such a wonderful Jew, but then they start accounting all of his mitzvahs and all of his averus, and oivavah, he says, can't believe it. He has so many averus, and they're going to send him straight to Gehenna, and he can't understand what's going on here. And finally, one malach comes out, one defending angel comes out in his defense, and he says, you know, by the way, the last couple of years of his life, he had dementia, and he suffered from this problem and that problem, and he had so many terrible, he endured so much suffering, he had so much agony, maybe we should knock off a little bit of his averus, maybe he got some punishment in this world. Okay, so God knocks off, he says, yeah, you're right, he deserves to be forgiven for a little bit. They look at the books again, and finally they see, he still has overwhelming amount of averus, and he can't understand. Finally, he speaks up to God, he says, what did I do? What are you finding? How do you know that I did all these averus? Do you really have a just system? It can't be. It doesn't make sense. And God says to him, well, we have in the books that you violated Trefus and Nevelus and you weren't keeping kosher. And we see that you were Mechal Shabbos every week. And we see that you weren't doing Taras HaMishpacha properly. And you saw that you were Bol Anida. He says, what are you talking about? My wife went to the mikveh every month, and I know that I was careful always to eat glatt kosher. I never even took a chance. When I went on vacation, I only ate in a restaurant that I knew had a really good hashgacha. How can you hold me responsible for all these things? I'm telling you this is not true. And God says to him, yes, it's true. Ata achalta glat kosher, says the Chafetz Chaim. You ate kosher, and you kept Shabbos, and you did follow the laws of the Torah, and you were honest in your business, but your next-door neighbor who was very friendly with you, who you had influence on, was not keeping Taras HaMishpacha, and was doing all kinds of problems, and was doing all kinds of things that you had the ability to stand up and say, there is a better way of life, there's a different way you should be acting, there's a way that I can teach you, that I can educate you in a way that you will listen. And says the Chafetz Chaim, Mishayesh b'yado limcho, someone who had that opportunity to educate others and to stand up to what's right, ve'eino moche, nitvas ba'oso avon. So now those go all on your account in Shamayim, says the Chafetz Chaim, a frightening statement. And again, it doesn't apply to everyone, doesn't apply to every circumstance, but the Chafetz Chaim says, don't be so quick to point a finger at Mitzrayim and say, oh, look, they're all responsible. We point a finger at Germany and say, look, they all saw what happened. What about once in a while pointing a finger at ourselves and saying, well, are we really doing whatever we can to influence, to educate others, to make sure that there are more people who are trying to follow in the Derech Hashem and the right, proper way of life? Obviously, those examples are not the same. The Germany example is way over-exaggerated, but it just gives us a glimpse, a little bit, of what this means. So here again, when it comes to Mitzrayim, we can understand. You want to blame all the Bechari Mitzrayim for what they did, or for their not getting involved, for their not standing up to what's right. We understand. But how can you take it to the next level and say, Mi Bechar HaShivcha, HaYoshev Al HaRechaim, you have these underprivileged members of society. You have all these people, the disadvantaged, those who are subservient to the Mitzrayim, those who are sitting in jail in the pit in Mitzrayim, and you're going to say, they're also going to be held responsible? They weren't in a position to influence. You think their masters would listen to them? So why should they lose their lives? What did they do wrong? Why is it fair? That seems to be a very unfair administering of punishment. That seems to be against what the Torah principle dictates, that we don't believe in collective punishment. This is a very unfair kind of way to carry out a punishment to all the Bechorim Mitzrayim when they probably were not all responsible and they were not all able to stand up to what was right. So that's question number one. We turn our attention to this week's Parsha, and we have the famous or the infamous story of Shechem. So what happens? Dina goes out, and she's walking along the road, and she's abducted. She's appropriated. And who's she picked up by? By Nisi Harad. She's picked up by Shechem ben Hamor. He was considered to be the prince of the land. And he abuses her, and he assaults her, and he rapes her, whatever happened there. And now he wants to marry her. He wants to go ahead and marry her. So his father, Hamor, comes along to Yaakov Avinu. He starts to negotiate with him, and he wants to know maybe he can marry his daughter. And Yaakov Avinu comes up with a plan. How about if the whole city of Shechem will get themselves a bris milah, I will be willing to give you my daughter, Dinah. That was the deal. Shimon and Levi come along, take advantage of the whole community that is now biyosam ko'avim. Everybody's in pain because they went ahead with the plan. Everybody went ahead and got the bris milah. Shimon and Levi come along, says the pasuk, vayhi bayom hashlishi biyosam ko'avim, when everybody was at a disadvantage. Vayikhu shnei b'nei Yaakov Shimon v'Levi achi Dinah. Shimon and Levi come along, they are the brothers of Dinah. They feel enraged over the fact that their sister was raped. Ish charbo vayavo al ha'ir betach vayargu kol zachar. They go ahead and kill everybody. Now, this also doesn't seem to be fair. Everybody raped Dinah. Everybody was involved in the abduction. Only the prince of the land was. So why are you punishing all of us? Why is it fair that everybody should be punished as a result of the actions or the terrible choices of Shechem ben Hamor? What did the rest of the city do wrong? And in fact, when Yaakov Avinu gives them Musar, when Yaakov Avinu is upset at what they did, he doesn't say, I'm upset that you went ahead and killed and you murdered and you violated the Aveir of Losirtach. Yaakov Avinu says, how foolish, how short-sighted of you. After all, they're going to retaliate. They're going to respond to our attack, and we're not so many people, and they're going to destroy us. So what are you doing? Which seems that Yaakov Avinu doesn't have a problem with the issue itself. He's getting involved in an ancillary issue that, oh, it's going to be dangerous for us because they're going to retaliate. What about the fact that your children just went ahead and took out collective punishment against the community, which didn't really deserve it? And this is not my question, this is the question that the Ramban asks. V'rabim yishalu, says the Ramban. Eich asu b'nei Yaakov ha-tzadikim ha-masim hazeh, lishbach dam naki. How could the children of Yaakov Avinu, the great tzadikim Shimon and Levi, how did they go ahead and kill innocent, guiltless people? They were not at fault at all for what Shechem and Hamor did. How did they have a right to go ahead and administer punishment against everybody when in fact everybody was not responsible for that act? And this is not only the Ramban asset, but the Gur Aryeh also says, Ach kasha, im Shechem chata, if Shechem went ahead and did something wrong, if he raped the woman, kal ha'ir ma'chatu l'hargam. What did everybody else do wrong? Rav Hirsch goes so far as to say he takes it a mile further and he says, not only does the Ramban have his question, not only does the Gur Aryeh have his question, but Rav Hirsch has in commentary on Chumash, listen to this. Ata matchila haganus, says Rav Hirsch. Now starts the troubling part of the story. Once we get into the issue of Shechem and Shimon and Levi, now we have a trouble. V'ein b'da'teinu l'chapas olav. We have no way of excusing the behavior of Shimon and Levi. We have no way of covering up for it, says Rav Hirsch. Ilu hargu Shechem v'chamar. If they went ahead and retaliated and took judgment against Shechem and Chamar, I would understand. V'adai hayadini mahem. Ach, heyokhasu al anashim chasrei magun. They started up with people who were unarmed. They started up with people who had no connection at all. Hamisurim yodeim below koach, gedolamizu. Not only that, they went ahead and they looted, he writes, and they went ahead and they took out punishment. There was no justification. Lakach lo haisa kol hatzdaka, he says. There was no justification at all for what they did. And this is Rav Hirsch speaking very strongly against the Avos, against the Yudbei Shiftei Ka. It's hard to say such a thing, but he sees no justification in what they did. Yes, they were angry about the fact that their sister was abducted, that their sister was taken advantage of, but what right did you have to administer a collective punishment in a community where not everybody was responsible for what took place? Now, this is an issue that the Mefarshim grapple with, not only by Parshas Bo B'Makos Bechoros, but it's something that we deal with over here in our Parsha as well. We have, let's say, the story also of Pilegesh Begiva. That was a very famous story that the Navi says in Sefer Shoftim. There was a man who married a Pilegesh. He marries a concubine, and he goes and he takes the Pilegesh from Beis Lechem, which was in the town of Yehuda, in the community of Yehuda. And then after a certain amount of time, she goes ahead and she was mezanet. She went out and did something wrong. Then she goes ahead and runs away to her father's house. The husband goes back to look for his wife. He finally gets his wife back. He goes and finds a place for him to sleep with his wife. And they're in the Shevet Binyamin. They're sleeping in some hotel in Shevet Binyamin after nobody wanted to let them in. And then, in the middle of the night, everybody from Shevet Binyamin starts to take advantage of his wife and they start to assault her and abuse her. And then the morning comes and he sees that after all the abuse that his wife put up with, his wife is no longer alive. She dropped dead from all the terrible abuse that she had gone through that night. And he goes ahead and he starts an all-out war and they kill the entire Shevet Binyamin as a result. The entire Shevet Binyamin is destroyed. Not only that, the animals of Shevet Binyamin are destroyed. The houses are burned. The whole community is destroyed. The whole community is eradicated as a result of what? Of a few people who assaulted a woman, who assaulted a Pilegesh. Now, we're not making light of the fact that they did that. But is it really everyone's responsibility? Is it really the whole Shevet Binyamin can be held accountable for something that took place? And the Navi goes so far as to say, Lo niyasa velo nirasa kazos lemiyom eloz b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim ad hayom hazeh. Says the Navi in Sefer Shoftim, there never was an incident of this cataclysmic reaction as what took place at this time. There never was such a tragedy that took place, that such a large faction of the Jewish people were wiped out over one story. There never was such a thing. This was a civil war. But a civil war over what? Over one person, over a few people, over a group of people who did something wrong, and therefore you kill out the whole Shevet Binyamin. So all of these stories are ones which trouble the Mefarshim, they trouble the Chazal, and I guess we'll have to continue tomorrow to figure out how do you reconcile. On the one hand, the Torah says, Ish b'cheto yumas, each person is going to have to be held accountable for their own doings, for their own choices. But yet here we find by Makas Bechorus, and we find here by Pilegesh Giva, we find the Parsha by the story of Shechem and Shimon and Levi, that it seems that we take out collective punishment on a community, even when it would seem from the surface that not everybody is directly responsible for the terrible crime that may have been committed. Mirza Shem, tomorrow we will continue.